Good afternoon, everybody. So the title of my talk is An Approach to Calculate the Financial Value of Direct Normal Irradiance Forecasts for a Concentrated Solar Thermal Power Plant. So when a Concentrated Solar Thermal Power Plant, or CST plant, operates in an electricity market, it would use forecasts to determine when it would want to generate electricity to maximize the return, to maximize the money it will earn from generating that electricity. So when the forecast is accurate, it will earn revenue from that. However, if there are forecast errors, then this may lead to the power plant having to pay for costs. Previous studies have looked at either the revenue or costs associated with using the forecast. And in my study, I looked at using both revenue and costs to calculate what I call the net value. So this is how the net value is calculated. Forecast DNI is converted into forecast solar field thermal output by using a solar field model. The forecast solar field thermal output is used together with electricity price to optimize the operation of the power block and storage to maximize revenue earned for the power plant. This optimum operation profile is assumed to become the dispatch targets that the power plant is then expected to achieve in the electricity market. Actual solar field thermal output, determined from actual DNI, is then used to determine whether the power plant is able to achieve these dispatch targets or not. If the target is met, then the power plant will earn revenue depending on how much electricity it generated and the price and the electricity price at the time that it generated the electricity. If DNI is over-forecasted, then the power plant will not have enough thermal energy to generate the electricity required. In this situation, the power plant would or may have a cost of paying for reserve generation, that is, paying other generators in the network to supply the electricity that it itself was not able to supply. If DNI is under-forecasted, then the power plant will have thermal energy in excess of that required to meet its dispatch target. If the power plant has storage, this thermal energy can be stored and used later. However, the storage is going to be finite, so once storage becomes full, this excess thermal energy would have to be dumped. As this thermal energy could have been used to generate electricity and earn money for the power plant, this is a cost of lost revenue and is recorded here as a cost for under-forecasting. The net value is calculated at the end by subtracting the costs from revenue. So to demonstrate how the method works, the best way to do that would be using a case study. I assumed a CST plant operating in Mildura in Southeast Australia. I chose Mildura because it has been identified as a potential location for concentrated solar power in Australia, and DNI measurements have been taken there. The study period covered the 1st of June to 30th November, because in this period there are no missing DNI measurements. By putting the CST plant in this location, it will be operating in the Australian National Electricity Market, or NEM. The electricity price for the NEM over this period was obtained so that the revenue earned by the power plant could be calculated. The unit cost of an over or under forecast error was assumed to equal the unit benefit of generating electricity. And a benefit of this assumption is that it allows the unit cost to be of similar magnitude to the unit benefit. There isn't really a CST plant in Mildura. In fact, Australia doesn't have any standalone CST plants yet, so I had to use a model to simulate how the power plant may operate. I made the model resemble Andersol 1, and this model consisted of three main components: the solar field, thermal storage, and the power block. The solar field was based on the work of Patnode, whereas the thermal storage and power block were based on the work of Seoshansi and Denholm. The NEM requires bids to be placed in the market for a given day by noon on the previous day. The NEM also allows a bid to be updated up to 5 minutes before dispatch. So this information will be used to determine the forecast horizon as well as the how often the forecast can be updated. Now, one of the forecast methods I used can only produce forecasts over daily periods. Hence, the forecast horizon is 48 hours and the update and all the forecast methods are updated every 24 hours. The forecasts are all at 1 hour resolution to be compatible with the time step of the model. I used three forecast methods in the case study. First is simple persistence of DNI over 48 hours. The second is an autoregressive integrated moving average model, or ARIMA model. In case you're not familiar with this, an ARIMA model produces forecasts by analyzing trends in historical data. The third model is the air pollution model, or TAPM. TAPM is a prognostic air pollution dispersion model that can output solar irradiance. This makes it similar to a regional numerical weather prediction model. As a required DNI and not global solar irradiance produced by TAPM, I use the Bolan-Ridley-Lauret global to diffuse model to convert that global solar irradiance to DNI. So coming down to what this slide is really showing in the main part, it's the mean bias error, mean absolute error, and root mean squared error calculated for each forecast method over the study period and excluding nighttime hours when DNI is known to be zero. So the MAE and RMSE show that on average in the study period, the errors for persistence are the largest, whereas for ARIMA and TAPM, they happen to be similar. The mean bias error is negative for ARIMA, so that shows that the ARIMA model tended to underforecast DNI in the case study. For TAPM, the MBE is positive, so TAPM tended to overforecast DNI. So now I'll show some individual cases of what happens through the study. So this one shows what happens when there's an overforecast. The dashed line without markers is the DNI, and almost all the values are sitting above the actual DNI, which is shown by the solid line. The dispatch targets, shown by the dashed line with markers, were determined from the forecast DNI. As this is an overforecast situation, the CST plant did not have enough thermal energy to meet the dispatch targets. Hence, the resultant operation, shown by the solid line with markers, is not able to completely follow the dispatch target line. Now, I did mention the CST plant model has storage. So if the if there was energy in storage, this could be used to meet the dispatch target despite overforecasting. So here's an example of that. The forecast DNI, once again, is greater than the actual DNI, so it's an overforecast. However, in this case, you don't see the dispatch target line because the resultant operation line is exactly following it and covers it. The lower graph shows the power plant had energy in storage at the beginning of the day, and this was discharged through the day so that it could meet the power plant could meet its dispatch targets. Now, in the previous slide, when the power plant could not meet the dispatch target, it would incur a reserve generation cost of paying another generator to supply its electricity. In this case, because the power plant was able to meet its own dispatch targets, it did not have any reserve generation costs to pay. So that the previous slide shows that it's beneficial for the CST plant to have energy in storage. This can be either because the optimum operation tells it to keep energy in storage, or because of an underforecast that left the CST plant with excess thermal energy that was kept in storage. However, if excessive underforecasting will lead to having a lot of excess thermal energy, and this can be and this is not good. So here's an example of two consecutive days of underforecasting. On the first day, there was not much energy in storage, and storage was charged until it was almost full at the end of the day. On the second day, with another underforecast, storage was charged and became full almost around midday. As a result, there's some thermal energy that ended up being dumped in the afternoon of the second day, and this is shown by the circles in the lower graph. So this slide shows the revenue, reserve generation cost, dump cost, and net value calculated for each forecast method over the study period. The net value for persistence and ARIMA are similar, whereas it's greatest for TAPM. If you recall from the earlier slide, which showed the forecast error metrics, ARIMA and TAPM had similar MAE and RMSE, but they had different mean bias error. And this is probably the cause for ARIMA and TAPM having different net values over the case study period. In this context, it would suggest that perhaps a forecast method with a positive MBE, so a forecast method that tends to overpredict DNI, may be more valuable from the perspective of a CST plant operator. If you compare the net value to revenue, you can see that the net value is about two-thirds the size of revenue. So in CST plant project planning, if only revenue is considered and the cost of using forecasts to operate the power plant are ignored, then this could lead to a misrepresentation of the financials associated with the CST plant project. So in conclusion, I showed a method that can calculate the financial value of DNI forecasts from the perspective of a CST plant operator. The method was tested using 6 months of study, 6 months of data and a CST plant model. Results showed that the net value calculated using both revenue and costs may be more appropriate for calculating the CST plant project cash flow. Now I say maybe because the results obtained, or the results I've showed, are going to depend a lot on the assumptions that I used on how the CST plant operates. So if those assumptions change, then the results will change, and maybe the difference between revenue and net value may not be as great as I showed. So to finish up, I'd like to acknowledge the Australian Renewable Energy Agency that funds my research, and the Australian Bureau of Meteorology, which collected and provided the DNI data. Now, with the permission of the chair, I will answer questions.
We have plenty of time for a few questions. Well, I'll ask a question. Mm-hmm. You showed potential savings of a couple of million dollars, if I understood, at the last slide?
No, it's not exactly savings that are being shown. It's a comparison of revenue and net value. So the revenue is calculated by only considering the money earned by the power plant when it generates electricity. But because the power plant has to use forecasts to determine to plan its operation, and forecasts have errors, there may be costs associated with those errors. So what I'm showing in my study is that the costs can be quite significant in offsetting the amount of money that the power plant will actually earn.
Okay. What mm-hmm. size of a power plant was this?
This power plant was based on Andersol 1. It's a 50 megawatt nameplate capacity power plant.
Great. Please go to the mic and identify yourself.
Oh, there it is.
My name is Johannes from Case Western Reserve University. You used 1 month's DNI data.
No, not 1 month. It's 6 months. So 1st of June to 30th November.
Okay, 6 months data.
Mm-hmm.
How sensitive is your results to variation in DNI, say, across a year instead of 6 months, and mm-hmm. Maybe year-to-year variations?
Well, that would depend on what sort of weather is captured within those 6 months. And one reason for using 6 months is the hope that it will include a variety of weather conditions, such as clear sky and cloudy conditions. Now, it's unlikely to include rare events, such as, say, a dust storm or smoke from a bushfire. And, well, obviously those effects are known to attenuate DNI and would well, to attenuate DNI and reduce the amount of electricity the power plant can produce. Now, these forecast methods I'm using probably won't be able to detect those situations. So if they happen during clear sky conditions, they would likely lead to large reserve generation costs for the power plant. So in answer to your question about, hold on, if I remember it correctly, it's about how the numbers would change in, with respect to DNI variability. So in that situation, when the DNI variability is lower than from rare events, then the value is probably going to be lower as well, unless the forecast method is able to detect them. And again, if the DNI is higher, well, again, it comes down to how well the forecast method can detect the variability, really. So I hope that answers your question well enough. If not, maybe we can talk about it afterwards.
Yes, one more question.
Thanks. My question is about your assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
So you consider that if you have an overestimation of DNI,
yes,
you will have to pay the in the missing or the missing energy from the grid. But do you also suppose that there could be a penalty if the power plant is not able to provide the amount of energy that was forecast?
Yes. So is your question, how did
there an additional penalties? Or the only only risk will be to pay the supplementary...
Okay. So in this case study, the CSE plant is located in the Australian National Electricity Market.
Yes.
Now, the way the NEM works is that they have something called a causes pays process for this. So to sum it up, in a nutshell, it says it means that whichever generator causes a disruption in the network, such as not supplying the electricity that it should have supplied, mm-hmm. then that generator that caused that problem is going to have to pay the money in order to fix that problem.
Okay. Only the money, not like not the penalty and all additional penalty.
Is there an additional penalty?
No, as far as I know, the NEM does not have an additional penalty.
Okay, Hans Georg Bayer, University of Agder, Norway. Just a question to you, our ARIMA model.
Yes.
So you do it is a 24-hour forecast you do here.
Yes. It's a 48-hour forecast. 48,
How do you handle this? Do you forecast then for daily means, or do you directly make then with an ARIMA method for 24 hours, the hourly forecast direct? So that's a little, when you went this, then the daily path of the irradiance, and when you make this with the ARIMA, then over 48 hours, so it's maybe a little complicated to get this, especially if you have also the night gaps in this, so mm-hmm. could not be a kind of continuous ARIMA process like this.
Yeah, okay. Now, first thing is, I'm not an expert in data analysis or time series, so my ARIMA model is probably very rough. So the way I did it is, I took the hourly DNI data, and I analyzed it to figure out what terms should go into the ARIMA model. Then, so from my understanding, if I run the ARIMA model, it will then give me hourly values of DNI up to however far ahead I want it to give me. So I did that, and then based on knowledge of when the sunrise and sun will set, I then just chopped out the hours that are nighttime and said, well, that's going to be zero no matter what values the ARIMA model was giving me.
Directly made the forecast for the irradiance values or for something?
Directly for DNI, yes.
Okay.
Okay, great. Great job answering those questions.
Thank you.